Hey listeners, Chloe here. If you need to stay as up to date with the latest developments and innovations in the luxury industry as I do, you need to dive into Vogue Business. It's your ticket to a global perspective on fashion and beauty, delivering exclusive insights that will give you the edge in this competitive, dynamic industry. Just visit VogueBusiness.com today and use the code RUN20 at checkout to join the Vogue Business community. That's VogueBusiness.com, promo code RUN20. Don't miss out. This is The Run Through. I'm Chloe Mal.
And I'm Cho Minardi.
Cho was just looking for the pure panic.
I know, I was like, I just feel like this is like a recurring nightmare.
All right, Choma, happy December issue cover day to...
Yeah,
well, I guess not as much to you anymore because you're not U.S. Vogue, but to
not
U.S.
My
Vogue.
Cover, unfortunately, yes.
Not my cover, not my problem. Because there's always some problem.
There's always a problem. Woo!
The December issue is out, and Nicki Minaj is our cover star. It is Nicki's first cover. And she's been in the magazine a few times, starting 10 years ago, and it's been very exciting to finally see her be on the cover, have this beautiful Norman Jean Roy, glamorous, elegant photo. There's an amazing photo inside of her with her son that I love. Max Ortega styled it. I heard
his first cover.
For Max's first cover, Norman Jean Roy's first cover, Nicki's first cover. I heard a very sweet story from On Set, which is that Norman... said to Max, I'm so happy that my first cover gets to be with you. And Max got all teary-eyed and sort of hit his head in the rack.
It's such a big deal. And
I know.
Such a sweet creative team.
I know. I mean, I have to say, Choma, though, I loved... Rob Haskell wrote a fantastic cover story, but Choma did an amazing interview with Nicki, bathed in pink light in her studio, where they chatted for a very long time.
We did. I think she's just... She's in such a good moment in her life where she's just so comfortable in her own skin and sure of who she is and owning her accomplishments, the fact that she's basically one of the greatest rappers, like, period. So it was a really great time to talk to her. Her son was in the other room. I could hear him giggling. She has
What does she call her son again? Big Daddy? No, Papa Bear.
No, correct. Papa Bear, not Big Papa.
I knew dad reference was in there.
Where did we get these? We knew it was dad reference.
But. Yeah, I thought she was extremely touching and frank on motherhood and what that journey has been like for her. So I'm really excited for everyone to hear your interview with her. But first, we want to talk about the news of the week, which was mostly Met announcement and the CFTAs.
So do you feel like you know what this Met is all about?
This was quite a topic of discussion in our digital stand-up. And, of course, you know, it's very intense timing when you can go live with the announcement. So the time that the Met gave us was 10:26 on Wednesday morning. And it was like the New Year's Eve ball drop during our meeting. It was like, okay, and we're live. But, yes, the Met theme of the exhibition was announced yesterday morning, and Luke Leach is here from London, and he wrote a great piece about it that everyone should read. But from what I understand, it's called Sleeping Beauty, and it's a way to use AI to awaken or reinvigorate these archive pieces in the museum that are obviously too fragile to be worn. It's 250 garments and accessories spanning four centuries, and they'll be united thematically by sort of iconography of nature and birds, bees, flowers, flora and fauna, so to speak. So I think it's, you know, a simplistic way to look at it is this will be a best of the Met's costume archives and some choice art items as well to help tell the story. So we're awakening this Sleeping Beauty. Oh, my
God. Yeah, I'm excited to see this one. This one feels like it's really going to be like fully immersive in like a...
I hope so.
And oh, God, what's the dress code going to be? Da-da-da.
So, you know, Choma, you have better, more recent experience with this, but always, it's a fun reveal when the dress code is announced because it's always a cheeky play on the theme. And
yes, exactly. It's a cheeky play on the theme. It's not like, you know, a direct.
Well, and so examples of like for even for the Karl Lagerfeld, which was a fairly, you know, direct theme, the dress code was in honor of Karl, which meant that you could have a little more leeway, perhaps.
It's always so fun to see how people interpret the dress code.
Choma, we missed you at the CFDA Awards.
I know. Tell me what it was like to be in the room.
Well, first of all, the room
was from afar.
It was at the Natural History Museum. Everyone was seated under the whale, a rare person not on Ozempic. And it was, I actually really liked the venue. I thought it was, felt festive, but not too cramped or crowded. And it was a long night. You know, we were there till 11. There were 12 awards. And I think there were some surprises. People seemed to be quite convinced that Tory Burch was going to win women's wear. And then
I was quite convinced, too.
Yeah.
But Kate won it second year running.
Yeah,
that's quite unusual, isn't
it? Exactly. Kate Holstein won second year in a row. So that was a curveball to some spectators. The Olsen twins, the row, won accessories.
No,
and they
right?
did not show up, which was not, you know, there were some mumblings about that in the room. Mm. People looked great. People really came for it. I loved Chloe Sevigny in this Big Ooh. Bird yellow, Christopher John Rogers. She looked amazing. Serena Williams really leaned into her Tom Brown voluminous explosion.
When does she do? Do we know?
We don't know. She honestly, I forgot she was pregnant. There was so much fabric involved in the dress that it wasn't even apparent. So I guess it was successful in sort of taking people's eye off of that.
I love that Willie won best menswear.
Willie Chavaria won for menswear. People were very excited about that. And Diotima's Rachel Scott won for emerging designer.
So nice.
And she had quite a few fans in her sparkling crochet. So that was fun. I was excited.
She gave quite an emotional speech.
She did. She gave a lovely speech about being Jamaican and where she came from and what this means to her. And it was really a lovely moment. Maria Cornejo also gave a really moving speech. She won the Lifetime Achievement Award, and everyone should listen to her interview on the podcast from last week.
Yeah, and it feels like the Renaissance, Anne Hathaway continues. She looked
Anne
incredible.
Hathaway replaced
Did
SJP.
She wore twice. She wore Ralph denim.
Yeah, she wore Ralph Lauren jewel-encrusted denim, and she replaced—
What was the red dress?
It was Rodarte. She wore a red Rodarte dress.
That dress may have been my dress of the night.
Yeah, she—
Who was your best dressed of the night?
I think Chloe was one, but I agree. Anne was great. And honestly, you know, she replaced SJP, and it's such a hard role to be that host because everyone wants the evening to keep moving, but you want someone who's sort of fun and lively. And I thought she really handled it with aplomb. It was like the best use of her theater kiddiness. Like at the end of the day, she just was like up there for
she's
the challenge. Yeah, and it was perfect.
Oh, and she's looking so good. I mean, it just like she's like peak.
I know. Honestly, I think that Chloe Sevigny in Christopher John Rogers might have been my best dressed. It's just
Ooh,
fabulous color. She looked
cool. I
actually
didn't get a look at her. Let me have a look.
Ayo Edebiri in Loewe, I thought looked fantastic. And she was sort of a belle of the ball. People were really excited to see her.
Yeah, I think she might win for best fashion red carpet newcomer of the year. She's so
Choma's
bad.
Award.
Already. Yes. My award. My prediction for end of year.
In fact,
the
CFDA stand for Choma Fashion Designer. It was fun. It's always like a sort of fashion prom. Choma, what else have you been thinking about this week?
Oh, I've been thinking about, I don't know. I'm in a real kind of, I'm still shopping out my fall. We're still in fall, right?
We're still in fall. Kind of lean in.
Yeah. So my colleague, Amal Mekhtar, she went and tested out this new H&M Paco Rabanne.
Oh, right. It's
collab,
this week.
And I love Paco. And there are so many great pieces in there. And the quality is amazing. So I've just been sort of pondering what to buy from that collection. God, so many important thoughts on my mind. But yeah, I've been meeting designers here, which has been really fun, and gearing up for the fashion awards here and figuring out what I'm going to wear to that too.
Oh yeah, that's I want something big from you, Choma.
I have something in mind. I just don't know if the said person will agree to it, but we'll see.
Oh, suspense.
The Run Through will be back in just a moment.
Get balanced or thrive trying. My name is Les, and I'm the host of Balanced Black Girl, a podcast dedicated to helping you feel your best. Join me for casual conversations about what it means to live a well-rounded life. I cover everything from how to make friends as an adult, to how to create a workout routine that works for you, to how to practice better financial wellness. Tune in for approachable conversations with wellness thought leaders and inspiring guests, as well as intimate solo chats with me for relatable advice. Follow wherever you get your podcasts and look out for new episodes every Tuesday.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and a luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. And we're back. Choma, you got to meet Nikki. Tell us where you met.
It was a real treat to meet her. I met her in the recording studio that she records at.
In New York?
And in New York. It's a really great space. And they had a room, obviously, that was, as you mentioned, bathed in pink light. So it felt very appropriate given that her new album, which is a follow-up to her kind of one of her best albums ever, which is Pink Friday. So we were all in a pink mood, and it was great.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait for everyone to hear this.
Nikki.
Yes.
I'm so excited to have you in the studio. Can you describe the amazing outfit that you're wearing?
Well, I just have on this blue and white velvet sweatsuit.
It's
very chic. It's Louis Vuitton, and I have the Louis Vuitton sneakers to match, and I have the Louis Vuitton scarf, and I have a Louis Vuitton bag and a little carry-on.
It's very chic. It's all working
Thank
together.
You. And
yes, I'm here for it.
I had the baby with me, so believe it or not, I was going to wear something that was all black and slick my hair back and try to look as sexy as possible. But with that baby, I couldn't even if I wanted to. Like, he's so, I would, like, just to do everything that needs to be done, like giving him his little shower, dressing him. Aww. I'm sweating by the time we get out the house, you know, door. So this was more practical for me today because I had the baby.
Well, I heard that you don't have a nanny right now.
Well, I've never really had a nanny.
I mean, isn't Papa Bear like three?
Yes. Yes. So the thing is, I was pregnant during the scary time of COVID where nobody knew how serious it was. So just imagine a brand new baby and someone tells you, oh, you know, let's start interviewing nannies and seeing da da da. People also didn't expect it to last that long, right?
Right.
So by the time I knew it, I had already developed this anxiety of, oh my God, I don't want a nanny, you know, like what if the nanny goes home and someone that her family member, she may not know, has COVID, and then, you know, the baby immune system. So that's really the beginning of why we weren't having anyone. And then I did end up start doing some interviews with nannies. I hired 4 different nannies.
Whoa.
And none of them worked out. And so I said, you know what? I'm not going to try this again. And then I tried it again recently. And someone did work out. Someone she was really, really good. He loves her. She loves him. I love her. All of that. So a couple months in, I realized that she wasn't able to do certain things with him.
No.
And I was like, are you okay? Like, you know, I started asking her questions, and come to find out, she had just been healing from breaking 3 ribs,
what?
A collarbone and a fractured finger. And I'm like, oh, I'm God. Like, lady, the last child you're going to be able to run after is this little strong boy. This is not going to work. So, again, I really like her. So we'll see, you know, if we could figure out something in the future. But right now, no. Yo no puedo. I don't have one. But you know what? When I'm in New York, of course, there's more family right. that can stop in, right. you know, if I really need. I just am one of those people I hate asking for help.
Aww.
And it's stupid. You know, now that I look back at life and from a different perspective, I realize how stupid that is.
I mean, it must be hard to trust.
Yes.
You know? Yes. I mean, how, especially at this point in your life, like how you let people in is like, you know, that must be a challenge.
Bingo.
You know?
Now, I'd like to say, though, I'm an optimistic person. Mm-hmm. I generally feel, you know, like I said, no, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. I am a spiritual person. I always know that everything's going to work out good. That's what I believe. I've always been like that since I was a kid. But this industry, if you are a trusting person, it changes you quickly. And I hate that.
Mm.
Like, I really hate that, you know, because life isn't fun like that when you can't trust anybody.
Yes, I can imagine that.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought I always had everything figured out, because one thing I've always been able to do is figure myself out and focus on my goal. But when you enter into the picture, a little human being, everything you thought you knew goes out the window about life. Mm. Everything you thought you cared about shifts. It's the best thing in the world, but it opens you up to, you know, you're more vulnerable. You have to trust more people. You have to let people around.
Yeah.
So it's so strange. I never thought motherhood would feel so like a difficult problem to solve in school, like the one that you can't figure out on a test, or because I always loved children. Like,
So you always knew you wanted to be a mom. Mama bear. You were going to be mama bear.
Absolutely. Yes. I always loved children. I always loved communicating with children. So I just thought it was going to be cakewalk. But I forgot something. During my life, when I was loving children and, you know, acting like, you know, my little brother was my own child and taking him driving places and doing all that stuff, I didn't have a career.
Right, right.
You know, I didn't have to wake up and be on talking and on a podcast, you know, and, you know, like, I didn't configure that part. And I guess because I'm so used to planning everything out, and you know, that's been the one gotcha moment for me. Like, oh shoot, this is a lot more than I anticipated, you know. And because, not that I can't program my brain like a machine, like I can do and have done for my whole life, but because I don't want to. You don't want to be a machine anymore when you're a mama, because that child comes first, period. That's it. That's all. That's it.
Wow. I mean, first of all, congratulations on...
Thank you.
I mean, this Vogue cover is incredible.
Thank
and I
you.
Want to say that maybe one of my most favorite pictures is you with your son.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, what was the experience like of I heard he was running around the studio a little bit.
Oh, God, yes. He has a lot of energy, yep.
What was the experience of shooting this cover like for you? And what does it mean for you to be on the cover of Vogue now at this point in your career where you really, it's not like you're a one-hit wonder. You've proved that you're, you know, one of the greatest female rappers ever.
Thank you. I will say I cried when my publicist, when Joe called me. And that is something, and you can ask anybody that knows me.
Right.
At this point in my career, nobody would be able to tell you the last time I've cried about getting a phone call that had anything to do with my career. Like, right. In terms of tears of joy,
yeah,
you know?
Every box.
Yeah, and it normally are things that I was expecting to get a call on or, you know, stuff like that. But this was something, like, I didn't even know it was being discussed. And then being on set, it was fun, but I was worried that when it was time to do the pictures with my son that he was going to fall asleep because it was kind of like nearing his nap. So I was like, oh my God, you guys, let's go. And so, but something beautiful happened is that he got down there and normally he lights up and, you know, wants to take pictures and thinks he's the star of every room child. But because he happened to be winding down, he ended up just laying on top of me, and I hadn't had my son lay that way on me for such a long time. My son is solid. So in order for me to pick him up, like, I can pick him up and place him, but he'll wriggle out, you know, and he'll get up out of there. He's not going to stay anywhere he doesn't want to be. But he ended up just laying there in my arms. He eventually fell asleep. And when they said cut, I just started crying again. Seeing myself with this big jacket covering my son and holding him so close to me. And it made me think of him being in my tummy.
Wow.
That's what it made me think of.
Did you enjoy being pregnant? Or looks like hard work to me.
I will tell you that anyone who lies and tells women that they enjoyed being pregnant needs to be punched in their forehead. Ugh.
It's been 13 years. Pink Friday 2.
Yes.
How do you feel? Tell us about the album. Tell us what it feels like now to be doing this.
Oh my God. I went through a time during the pregnancy and right after the pregnancy, and I spoke about where I had like writer's block and also didn't want to say certain things pregnant. Like, I just felt weird. But this album has been so therapeutic because so much life has happened in the last 5 years for me. So I put those things that I don't want to talk about, I put those things in the music. I have a song talking about when my father got hit by a car and they called me and my mother called me and told me that they were at the hospital and stuff like that. I wrote a song detailing what that feels like because I thought, imagine how many people have gone through this exact thing.
Right.
And I've never heard this in a song.
Right.
However, it took me maybe 6 to 9 months to get the courage up to, even after I had written the lyrics,
right,
to record it. Because I knew once I recorded it, I would have to hear it back. And I would have to edit and keep listening. And I was like, I wasn't ready. Until this album, I didn't realize how much I needed for my artistry that I originally had with my mixtapes in my first album that I hadn't been utilizing, you know? Something as simple as going through the beats raw, like without anything on them, without any idea of that. Like, I don't need someone's idea on a beat. I want to just feel the music. I want it to write itself type of music. And I said to myself, the last time I felt like this was before Pink Friday.
Wow.
By the way, I tweeted PF2, I believe, 2018 or 2019, because we were originally going to put the album out then. But then, you know, preggers and COVID and da-da-da-da. but I, for some reason, was already feeling a full circle-ness once I became pregnant. So I actually did do a song like that where I think, because I had a song called Dear Old Nikki on my first Pink Friday album. And my fans loved it, but I hated it. I couldn't listen to it for a long time. Like, so much of it would make me just be like,
what was it about it that made you cringe?
I don't know.
Right. Just one of those things.
But I'm like that with a lot of my music, to be honest. Yeah.
So you always need to look forward. You're not looking back. You're not listening to them.
I will say this. I knew that I was in my happy place again when I was able to listen to my old music. When I was able to not only listen to my old music, but look at old photos of myself.
Right.
I wasn't even able to look at old pictures of myself.
Really? Why?
I didn't like the way it looked.
Right. I mean, you had, to me, like, you've always been a trailblazer. Everything you've done, you broke the mold, you did things your way. Like, I was going to ask you about your style evolution, because I think it was like you landed from another planet, you know? I remember, like, there was when you went to Fashion Week with Anna, and it was like, oh my God, every look was...
Why did y'all
I'm in a picture behind you, sitting, like, probably picking my nose.
Okay. Well, let me clarify something. When I was talking about I wasn't able to look back at my old pictures, I wasn't talking about that even though that is the truth. So I'm glad you brought that up. So it's two-sided.
Right.
I wasn't able to look back at my old pictures because I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't like being skinny,
having
a flat butt.
Right.
Having boobs that didn't sit high enough.
Right.
It was a lot of things.
Right.
And when I look back at myself now, I literally was like, oh, I'm about to look like that girl again. The reason why I wasn't able to look at my old photos was I didn't like the way I looked, right? Mm. Physically. And now I love the way that person looks physically.
Mm. What changed for you?
It's very scary to feel constantly like you're in a fishbowl. Oh, mm. Remember, artists are people who didn't live their life in a fishbowl or wanted to do something that made them feel like they were out of the fishbowl.
Mm.
Then you do this thing, and if you become successful at this thing, there you go, back in the fishbowl. Mm. And this fishbowl is, you know, this fishbowl has a million people looking at you, not just two and three and people on your block. Mm. So it does something, and you do have to reconnect. Mm. I think pregnancy could have played a role because seeing my son did remind me of myself so much, my real self. And it made me think, why didn't I like this? You know, like, so weird. But seeing old photos, being able to look at old photos again, made me realize these old photos were beautiful.
Mm.
And that girls, right now in your life, you are beautiful. You are fine. Mm. And I guarantee you, if you change anything on your body and do all the, you know, do anything surgical and all this, you're going to more than likely, not definitely, more than likely look back one day and say, I was fine, just the way I was.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. I could not believe even some of the photos that I had done, you know, that I didn't love. Anyway, so now regarding fashion, yes, that too. That makes me cringe too. Sitting down next to Anna in those outfits.
It's amazing.
Especially the one where she had sent me a picture and said, hey, we match, because she had had on a little, like, an orange and something else dress. And I was like, oh, my God. I wanted to just crawl under a rock. But, yes, I was very much in my camp stage.
Right.
And I was having fun and loving it. Because you know what? I wanted so badly to step out of the female rap box.
Mm.
I really did. Like, I wanted to create a new image of what a female rapper is and feels like and moves like and raps like. And I wanted to create a new lane.
Mm.
I didn't want to just imitate my idols, you know?
Yeah.
So I went from Southside Jamaica, Queens, New York City, big bamboo earrings, you know, and all of a sudden to this really, really over the top fun stuff. Because the thing is, the pink, it made me happier.
Like, I can sympathize. We are bathed in pink light right now and I feel great. And yeah, pink is such a fab color.
Yes, it really is. And
is it still your is it your favorite color?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily my favorite color to wear,
but just right, as an energy.
Yes, the pink energy. To look at.
Yeah.
I loved looking at pink.
Yeah.
I love looking at pink flowers. I love looking at pink anything, liquids. Mm. You know, it makes me happy. So once I realized that, because I just started with a little pink in the back of my black hair at first, once I realized that, I wanted more and more and more of it, you know? And so it was like an addiction. I got addicted to constantly have, you know, looking over the top. But what happens when you constantly look over the top, wearing over the top wigs and stuff like that, you can forget. Even though this might sound silly, because you think, oh, it doesn't matter what I look like when I was, I know why, but you can forget who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think happened. And then for the pink print era, I stripped down, you know, wearing a lot of black and stuff like that. And now, but this is different. This doesn't feel stripped down. This feels like when I first came out, mm. You know? That's what me wearing my real hair again and all that stuff.
Mm.
That's why I love that. The first magazine capturing me wearing my real hair in years.
Wow.
If I ever even did that, is American Vogue.
I love it.
You know, like, and it really, really worked out, I think. You mm-hmm. know, we did a couple looks with the wigs and we did a couple. And then the second day, you know, I did my hair, my natural hair. And I love that.
Yeah, no, I love it too. I also love the cover of your new album.
Thank you.
I love that Pat McGrath, the makeup artist, she Thank was you. Someone you worked yes. with on it. And I look at it and I love, like, it looks like a dystopian New York. You're like in a subway car. Like, tell me a bit about the cover because I love it.
Sure. Well, we were trying to capture Pink Friday. But I was like, guys, I want it to be Pink Friday, elevated, high fashion. And then it had the pink and red, which solidified my new alter ego for Red Ruby. And then when we put the headpiece on my hair, oh my God, it brought in all of the Asian influence, you know, that I've been paying homage to for my whole career, mm-hmm. you know, Chun-Li and all of that. And everybody was like, oh my God, that's it.
I mean, I love that you have all these many alter egos. Like, oh, did you have imaginary, like, friends as a kid? Like, where's the alter ego?
No. I know people who say they have had imaginary friends, but no, I never had an imaginary friend. I had a Cabbage Patch. He was a boy. I named him Gavin. I mean, no, I think they come with the name. So I think his name was already Gavin or Gavin. And then
I remember I had a doll that I named her Penny.
Right.
But yeah, no imaginary friends.
No?
Mm-mm.
I mean, we were just watching your VMA performance and the singing voice.
Thank you.
The last time I saw you. When did, like, you've been hiding this for so many years from us.
You think so?
Yeah.
No. I don't normally perform songs like that
right.
before my albums come out. Like, those right. are the kinds of songs that normally are, like, the ones that pull, you know, tug at your heartstrings that are on the album.
Right.
But for some reason this time, once again, I felt like being the leader of the pack in terms of I never want to do what other people are doing musically mm-hmm. at that moment.
Right.
I always want to make a sharp left turn, like, and just do something different. And so last time I saw you, I wrote it from scratch. It has elements of me speaking about my father, mm-hmm. but the whole song isn't written about him.
Mm.
And I just wanted
before my album came out to touch people outside of just like club stuff and
right.
sexy stuff and right. showing my booty and showing my this and that. I don't know. I just wanted to draw it all back in and remind people, hey, I'm actually a talented writer. I love rap. I'm passionate about this. This is not something that I can give up on even if I tried. Mm. This is my passion. And I just wanted people to listen to my words this time. You know, I didn't put out a visual for it, mm. nothing. I just wanted people to listen to the words and be able to relate. You know, because I know so many people that I know have also lost people recently. Right. In the last few years, right. more than so many people that I talk to have lost people close to them.
Mm.
And you're expected just to get up and keep it going. Mm. Get on with it. You're not really expected to take the time that I think is needed for somebody that you really love when they leave this earth. Even in a 9-to-5, mm. just imagine. Like, I remember how much time, you know, even when a woman had a baby, how much time they would be able to take off. And now when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wait a minute, it just dawned on me. Women typically have to go back to work after like 6 weeks.
It's crazy.
Or something like that. And I have a hard time leaving my child, and he's 3.
I know.
So
I heard him in the way in here. He's around, guys. He's not far away.
Yeah.
He's the cutest thing.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. He actually is a people person.
He is?
Yes, I didn't expect that.
What qualities do you think he gets from you?
He's an actor. No, yes, he's very theatrical.
So he'll definitely be able to do the alter ego thing then.
Yes, but he's not. I'm not letting him do anything. People, for some reason, always tell me that. Since I had the baby, my fans always joke, oh, Papa is going to be the best rapper in the game. And, you know, just trying to be
it's
funny.
It's a lot of pressure.
Oh, right. No. But can I just say something? This is how I really feel. When you are born with a trust fund or a bank account that's already there sitting, you know, don't nobody want to hear you rapping about the struggle, okay? We don't want to hear that. So I'm going to keep it real with my son if he ever tried that day. If he ever tries one day, I'm going to say, listen, nobody don't want to hear that, okay? I went to the hospital to deliver you in a, I would joke and say this all the time. I went to the hospital to deliver him in a Range Rover. He came back home in a Rolls Royce, okay? Chioma, so I don't know what he gonna be rapping about, but it ain't gonna be the struggle because he cannot relate, and I don't like that. So, but the other thing is that I don't feel that people's passions should be pushed to children.
Right.
I think that your passion and your gift, you're born with it, right?
Yeah.
And so the last thing I would do is help him record music and stuff at an early age. I want him to see what naturally comes, you know, what naturally makes him happy.
He really likes my engineer Juice. And every time Juice is like, anytime he would be able to like walk by the studio or whatever,
he would be like staring at Juice. And do you know now he knows how to do, there's this dance that we call it the Juice dance.
Like, yo, it's crazy. The baby is able to imitate Juice's movement down to a T. And he acts like he's sitting there on a chair and he's like bumping to the music, like how Juice bumps to it.
Aww.
And so he'd be having us cracking up. But what I will say is he definitely loves music.
Right. I mean, what is it true what they say about the music that you played when you were pregnant? I mean, were you in the studio? Like, are there songs? What's his taste in music? I mean, does he have things that he likes?
He doesn't like sad songs.
Right.
So I would be playing gospel when he was just born. When I was in his room rocking him on his rocking chair, I would try to play gospel because I thought that would soothe him. Mm. No, he started crying. Yeah, but he tends to like stuff he can dance to, turn up to. He loves staring at himself in the mirror. He loves getting dressed. He loves going in my closet, picking up my designer shades and my designer hats. And then he goes and picks out a designer suitcase, a carry-on suitcase. I guess he's not checking bags, okay? And then he go, like, and then we'll just be, look at him. He goes in the mirror, and he's, like, talking to himself. He's, like, hyping himself up. He's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, who is this little human? And where did he come from? Because he already cares about, like, his appearance. And he already has like a little, you know, like the little sauce, you know, to him. So it's fun watching that because, again, that's not something that we're forcing onto him. That's something that he's, you know, picking up for himself. He seems to like getting himself dressed and stuff. I will say one more thing. Even though I would not push him to do music, I will say, I probably make up a new song for him once a day.
Really?
Yeah, it's probably like just four lines.
So you sing to him
all the time. Like, okay. Like it's really a rap. Like, Papa is here and he's so cute. Papa is here and that's the truth. And you would be surprised. He knows that I'm talking about him. So he gets, you know, he gets happy. I grew up in a house where we laughed a lot. So I definitely was going to make sure that my son knows that his mama has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And that he can be silly and, you know, of course he overdoes it sometimes.
The Run Through will be back in just a moment.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
And why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I really love talking to Nikki about how she was actually a theater kid too, and she has this like strong love for acting. It turns out.
I love movies. I don't think I would ever go back to theater, but it really prepares you,
right?
You know, because you have to do that live. There's no.
Right.
Oh, I got to redo it. No. True. Once that audience is there, you got to get it right. And could you imagine having to be, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to all the theater kids and theater adults out there that are out there doing theater, because people don't realize how. That's what I said to Margot Robbie on the carpet for the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
I was giving her a hug, and I think she automatically thought it was going to be like, you know, the regular industry, kiss, kiss, and da-da-da-da. And I said, I said something along the lines of, like, yo, you're so dope, like, you know, and we were about to, like, part ways, and then I was like, no, I really am proud of you. I was like, I went to school for acting. I know she was like, what is this weirdo talking about, I went to school for acting speech. But I said, I went to school for acting, so I want you to know that I understand how difficult it is, and I'm telling you, immediately, it's like her eyes changed.
Mm.
It's like she knew immediately she was understood without saying a word. And she was like, oh, my God, what? And we started talking about it. I was like, yeah, you know, that was my first love. I said, I just want to tell you, though, I know the commitment it takes to do these starring roles. And that's why, you know, I feel for a lot of the actors.
Did you grow up wanting to be a...
I would have wanted to be, yes. But where I was raised... Those things didn't happen to people like us because no talent scout was going to be coming in the freaking ghetto. And, you know, so what happened was one day I was in seventh grade and this teacher, she never particularly liked me until she was doing a play at the end of the year.
Right.
And we had to all audition and... She saw I could act. Mm. And she pulled my mother aside. She said, hey, if she keeps her grades up for eighth grade, she could be accepted into performing arts high school. Mm. You know, and my mother was like, really? Okay. But it struck something in me when that lady said that. Mm. I wanted it so bad that I was... You know, in my notebook from junior high school, I was writing my LaGuardia high school head. You know how you do your header on your loose leaf paper, like your school and da 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 da. I was so young, but I was already doing the manifesting things, and I didn't even know the word, but I manifested every single thing I wanted.
I mean, what are your first memories of being a kid? Because I know you moved from Trinidad to New York when you were five, and Trinidad happens to be one of my favorite places in the world.
Thank you.
It's the most amazing country.
Thank you. Wow. One of my first memories as a kid is always my grandmother. She passed when she was in her early 70s, but so she never got to even see me like successful.
Wow.
Yeah. But one of my earliest memories was we eat this thing in Trinidad called mango chow.
Yum.
And it's so spicy. So my grandmother would literally have a big white bucket, chop up all the mangoes, put all the ingredients in it. And we would just be right there waiting for her to finish, you know, doing it. And then you let it sit. And then I was eating it and I loved it. But what was funny is when I look back and think how young I was, I must have been like 3 years old or 4 years old.
It's the same age as your son now.
Well, right. You have three. Mm-hmm. He just turned three. So, yes, exactly. I would never give my son something that was spicy. So what's interesting is that, you know, in Trinidad, we are introduced to spicy stuff immediately. Like, not that it's going to burn your tongue, but just spicy enough. And I just always look back and think, like, maybe Granny used to give me, like, a different piece of the mango. Or maybe she used to, you know, rinse it a little bit before she gave it to me. But since that time, I always loved mangoes, and I always have loved mango chow. And I actually know how to make mango chow myself now.
Are you domestic? Do you like to cook? Are you domestic?
I am. I feel I'm more domestic in my mind, though.
I'm not domestic. I try. I want to be, too. I want to be so bad.
Yo, you know. I want to be so bad. I love cooking, though.
Okay, well then you're already ahead of me because I want to be good at cooking. I love eating.
Okay. Well, I tell people I don't have a lot of dishes because of my career. Obviously, I wasn't able to, you know, I don't have a lot, but the ones I have, they're good. Like, because I know how to season food really, really well.
If I were to come over for dinner, what would you cook me?
You would love my spaghetti.
Okay.
You would love my spaghetti. So, but it's a little bit spicy.
I love spicy.
Okay, you would love my spaghetti. I promise you. So the other thing that you would love is, I don't know if you've ever eaten kingfish, but from Trinidad, a lot of people from Trinidad eat kingfish. It's something that Americans don't eat as much.
Right.
It's a thick fish. It already has really great flavor. Mm. So... you know, I fry it first and then I stew it. Mm. And the gravy is just so good. Like the gravy then has, you know, tomatoes, green peppers, onions, a little bit of garlic, cilantro, scallions, you know, like just not too much that it overpowers it. But the gravy on the rice and the fish, it yeah. just tastes so good.
Do you remember moving to what it was like moving from to like, you know, to yeah. Queens? Like, did it feel like, wow, big city, we're here, like this is, I don't know, it must have been quite a culture shock.
Oh my God, to say the least. Well, my parents had flown out, I guess, to get their stuff situated, like paperwork to, you know, to bring their children to the United States. But I was a very young girl. I didn't realize, I'm sure I didn't know that it was going to end up taking 2 years.
Wow.
As a kid, when you think about the United States, you think it's this
oh my God.
Perfect thing.
For sure.
No one tells you, and even if they did explain it to me as a kid, of course I wouldn't have understood that. I wouldn't have understood at all. People on the islands, even now, it's a joke. Like on TikTok, I see so many island people saying it. People in the islands think that, you know, their relatives in the States are living like kings and queens.
Yes, I know.
And that we can just send them a bunch of money and we can just do this and that. And they don't realize the hustle and the bustle of living here.
Yeah.
And so I was disappointed when because for some reason, I don't know why that day we came, my parents had the couches like set up on top of each other. Like the couches weren't down. I don't know if maybe they had cleaned the carpet or something.
Right. But to my chaotic.
Yes, to my little brain as a kid, it seemed, like you said, chaotic. And for lack of a better term, poor.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, I'm like, oh my God, why did I think I was going to walk into some fairy tale castle?
Right.
And that's not what we walked into. However, looking back now, even though the projects were a block and a half away from where I lived, and it was a tough neighborhood. Looking back now, I think, wow, you know, we even though we a lot of times had to be on welfare or food stamps, whatever, we were living in a house, a two-bedroom house, and that was a big accomplishment for my family because a lot of people didn't own their own house at that time.
I mean, I know you wrote your first rap song when you were 12. Do you remember what the content of it was, what you were rapping about?
Yeah, I think I was a little bit, I think I might have been 11, but I
remember. Could you recite it now?
Yes, yes, I've said this before, I've done it before, okay. But these are the two lines that I will say. It's cookies, the name, chocolate chip is the flavor, suck up, my style's like a cherry lifesaver.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's so good.
It's so bad.
I know you've done it before, but it's so good. It's just, it gives me goosebumps to hear you rap. Like,
what?
It's just like you, it's
wow.
really crazy.
Thank you.
Well, you're in a very different era now. And I kind of want to ask you before we wrap up, how would you describe the moment that you're in now? Like, what is this era for Nikki? Because it seems like you really know who you are. You're comfortable in your skin. You're kind of like revisiting something in a new way. What is this moment for you and what does it mean?
It feels very triumphant, I will say. It feels like allowing myself to be me without caring what people think, you know? And it took a long time to get to that place.
It's nice to let go of that.
Yes.
It's so hard, though.
It's hard. It's very hard, but it is something that must be done in order to achieve true happiness. The things that I would let bother me in the past, I wouldn't even flinch now because I realize how weak those people are and how much they feed off of my strength and my energy. And so I just was like, okay, I get it now. I figured it out. I figured out the game and let's play. That's it.
It's that simple.
That simple. And I've paid my dues. So now it's dope
to just be able to sit back and not feel like there's anything to prove.
Yes.
When you know you are the absolute best, you don't have to stress at every little thing. You know, it's like more of a calm confidence.
Yeah.
Less of the, you know, trying to prove things. No, it's just, however, don't forget, rap is braggadocious.
Oh, yes, it is.
And people, you want to know what's so crazy? The most professional-looking, sweet-looking people that I meet are always like, I like such and such song. And it's always the most ghetto, gritty, like, you know? So I realized,
I'm sure there's some of that on the album. We hope so.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. And I was just thinking to myself earlier how much fun I'm having, too.
You just seem like you're having so much fun. And I feel
so
like that
fun.
Is coming through the music that you're making. You're having so much fun.
Yes.
Yeah. And yep. doing it all. And with Papa Bear and everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, Nikki, thank you for your time. It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
Thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for thinking of me.
Please. Oh, my God.
I want to make sure everyone knows that in the building. Please, I want everybody to know.
Everybody
that this
knows.
Means the world to me. Yeah. Thank you.
It's big and we're here for it. We're here to celebrate
it's a moment.
Yeah. And that's it for today's episode. See you soon. The Run for Revogue is a production of Condé Nast Entertainment.
The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns. It's engineered by Jake Loomis and Gabe Quiroga and mixed by Mike Kutchman.
See you soon.
Bye. Hi everyone, it's Chloe, and I'm so excited to share something fabulous with you. Vogue's first ever global fashion community, Vogue Club. Our members get to mingle with Vogue editors, yes, including me, and fellow fashion enthusiasts at exclusive events around the world. And that's just the start. Membership opens doors to the fashion industry, bringing you expert career advice and insider style and beauty tips. What are you waiting for? Head over to vogue.com/membership to join, and here's a little treat. Use code TRT20 and snag 20% off your membership. That's TRT20 for 20% off your ticket to Vogue Club. Are you in?